Amen. We want to open God's Word in the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the chapter number 16. We read some verses here. Acts chapter 16. And we commence reading at verse number 25. Thank you for the privilege of coming tonight and sharing with you. And I pray that God will bless our coming together as we gather around God's infallible truth. Now it says there in Acts chapter 16 verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their sights, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And we end our reading there. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his holy word. Now, the question was asked there in verse number 31. The question was in verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I want to tell you how the Lord Jesus Christ saved my precious, precious soul. John Newton put it in the words of that lovely hymn you sang just a moment ago, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And friend, that's the really heart of it. It is the amazing grace of God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9 it says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, it is not of works, lest any man should boast." Grace simply means great riches at Christ's expense. You know, God is gracious to us in that God gives me what I do not deserve. I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve to get to heaven. I don't deserve God's peace or pardon within my soul. But thank God I have it, because God has been gracious to me. Now, of course, there's another word in the scriptures, and it's the word mercy, and grace and mercy. And mercy is that God doesn't give us what we do deserve. God is merciful. You see, we deserved hell. We deserved punishment. We deserved damnation. We deserve to be separated from God because of our sins. Because the Bible says your sin has separated between you and God. And friend, that's what sin does. Sin separates between a man and a woman and God. And that is why if we're going to be reconciled to God, if we're going to be brought nigh to God, then we have to have our sin dealt with. Because that's the heart of the problem. The problem of our heart is our sin. And someone said one time, sin's a brat that nobody wants to own. But my friend, let me tell you, it's in every one of our hearts. The Word of God says we all have sin. The Word of God says also, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And I want to tell you how the Lord Jesus Christ brought me to that amazing grace and to salvation through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was born way back in 1948, 1949, our brother was, on the very same day, the 6th of August, 1948. And you know, friends, I was brought up on a farm. My father was a farmer. My mum and dad were, I was reared on the farm. And my dad believed in every day practically, in every hour practically that God gave, that you had to work. He didn't believe very much in the talk about relaxation and all these things today that people have. Going to a gym, you didn't need to go to a gym. All you had to do is lift a bucket. And I can tell you this, you got all the muscles that you could ever get because my father certainly made you do the work, and he believed in that. I was the youngest of five children. Now, my brother was the eldest and I was the youngest. There were five of us. And the day I was born, my brother, number one, was 4 years, 7 months and 6 days. That simply means that we're just steps and stairs, 10 months between two, 11 months between two. We're just all practically born together at one time. 4 years, 7 months, and 6 days between the five of us. And we thank God for God's goodness and that home that God brought me into. But my mom and dad weren't saved. My father had godly parents. My mother had a godly mother. But my parents were not saved. And you know, friends, many times my mom would talk to me. I never met any of my grandparents. They were all gone before I was born. Mom's side, dad's side. I never sat on a grandfather's knee or looked into a grandmother's face on either side of the family. And I think that I'd miss something, being a grandfather of 11 grandchildren, 10 boys and one granddaughter. And that makes all the difference. But my grandparents were gone before I was born. But Mom used to tell us at night time about them and about their character and about the upbringing that my dad had and she had in her home. Mother would tell about her mother. She had a family of 8 children. And they lived down in the heart of Arbogue, which is right in the heart of County Tyrone, near the Loch and Loch Ness. And Mother would tell us that one night the death angel was coming into that home to take the mother away from 8 little children. And you know, as the death angel was coming into that home, they could hear singing from a mother's room. And they didn't understand who was singing because they were sitting up in the little kitchen and a father and the 8 children. And Mom was lying there as they thought was asleep and was near the end of the journey of life. And then they heard singing. They made their way into the little hallway and looked into the room. And there a mother had pulled herself up in the bed and she was singing these words. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the glad news all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. You know, climb the hills and cross the waves, onward 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And I've often thought about that, because you know, I never saw my grandmother, but I tell you this, God has given me the privilege to climb the hills and to cross the waves and tell men and women across this world this simple message, Jesus saves. And thank God he still does. That's what we're singing tonight. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And of course, my grandmother went home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a very godly grandfather. My mum would tell me about my dad's father. He was an elder in the local Presbyterian church. And my grandfather was a person that never saw anything that God could do was bad. People say, that's a bad day, William. They said, no, it's not. Anything God sends is good. And so therefore, it's not a bad day at all. And he was always rejoicing in the Lord. But you know, one night, he said that he had a vision. And an angel appeared in his room and told him that God was going to call his son home, one of his boys home. And that God was going to give him 7 years more after the son would be taken. Now, of course, when he woke up in the morning, they said, that's an old man, and therefore he's just dreamt this. And well, of course, the truth was this, friend, that shortly after that, one of the boys was well and strong, but he fell off a horse and broke his neck. And he was dying, and he said these words, there is a happy land far, far away, but it's not far away from me now. And Uncle John went home to be with Jesus. 7 years later, Grandfather was sitting in the living room. My father was out sowing turnips in the field, and he called to my dad, and he said, Bob, I want you to hurry up. I want to hurry up and finish the field, for I can hear the shepherd calling. And friend, let me tell you, that day, as my father came in that evening, the shepherd called, and Grandad went home to be with the Lord. You know, they lived close to the Lord. There were no distractions in those days. It's just, you know, as we read in the Bible how the Lord talked to the men in the scriptures. Well, let me tell you, the Lord was very close and very near to those godly old men. But just, as I said, with all of that upbringing, still my mum and dad weren't saved. Until one night, my brother came in, he's the eldest of the house, and he came in from a mission. And he said, Mummy, I've got something to tell you. Now, Daddy was out in the pub that night. I was up in my mom's room, just lying on the top of the bed, and we're waiting for my brother to come in, and he said, Mom, I've something to tell you. He said, what is it, son? He says, Mama, I got saved. I got saved tonight. And you know, my mother was stunned by what her son had said, because she knew what he meant. And because she wasn't saved, but she knew the gospel. And you know, Mom said to him, the words she said was this, "Son, I'll help you the best I can." And you know, God used those words to speak to my mother's heart. Because she realized, how could she help her son in his walk with God when she didn't know the Lord herself? And my friend, you and I cannot do that. We can't help others to walk with God if we're not walking with God ourselves. And so therefore, God started to speak to my mother and speak to my mother's heart about her need of salvation. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and friend, listen, you hear of someone, maybe a child getting saved, and say, that's great, but what about you? What about you? Mommy, are you saved? Daddy, are you saved? Are you in the family of God? Can you encourage your children to go on with God and to love the Lord with all their hearts? One night I was sitting in a little mission hall beside our home. Mom and the five of the children were there, and Dad was down at home. And we're sitting in this meeting. The Reverend Leonard Ravenhill was the preacher. And he was an American preacher. He wrote a number of books, Why Revival Tires, and a number of books. And Leonard Raven was the preacher in that little mission hall beside us at home. And you know, as God was, the preacher was preaching God's word, God was speaking to my mother's heart. And when it came to the end of the meeting, the appeal was made, and my mom was, her heads were bowed, and I didn't know, I was sitting beside my mother, and I didn't know what was going on in mommy's heart. But she said, God, if somebody else comes tonight, I'm going to come too. I'm going to trust you as my Savior. And then no sooner had she said that to God, immediately Leonard Ravenhill said these words, God bless you, little girl. And the little girl sitting right in front of my mother had indicated that she wanted to come to Christ. And God said and spoke to my mom's heart and said, now there's somebody else. Now it's you. And thank God that night, my mother went into that little back room of that hall and she gave her heart and her life to Jesus Christ. Just gloriously saved. Well, we got out of that little hall and we're heading down home. And as we're heading down home, let me explain this to you. My father, as I said, he believed to work in many hours. And we'd go in our ceilidh in our part of the country about 10 o'clock at night. And we loved to go to my aunt and uncles, because they weren't married. And my aunt always was receiving us and you would come late at night. And she always put on the pan, and no matter how late it was, and she put on the pan. That was the time they used to use lard instead of all this modern stuff they do for the cooking. And she put on the pan, and she put on the beef, and she put on the sausage, and she put on the bread. Boys, it was powerful. And you know, you can nearly feel the lard running down the side of your chin. And people say to you, sure, that's going to destroy your arteries. My father says, get a bit of work on you, and that'll soon get rid of the lard. And so Therefore, we are heading down home, and Dad's car was coming up towards us. And we knew we were going down to my aunt's place. Mom said, don't you tell Dad what happened tonight. Don't you tell your daddy what happened tonight. And of course we said, Mommy, we will not say anything. We got into the car, and as we got into the car, I sat beside my mom in the front seat, and the rest of the four of them in the back seat, and there we're heading down to my aunt's house for a visit. But you know, my dad never said these things before. You know what he said that night? He says, well, how did the meeting go? My father never talked about these things. But you know, God's a wonderful God. He works in a wonderful way. And he says, well, how did the meeting go tonight? And I said, yes, it was full. Well, he says, well, did anybody get converted tonight? But that never said, that wasn't my dad's conversation. And you know, we just looked, I sort of looked at the side of my eye to the one sitting in the back seat, and everyone had to keep quiet because Mom said, don't you tell your daddy what happened tonight. And so therefore we were sitting silent, but my dad wouldn't let go. And he says, yes, there were a couple got saved tonight. He says, did they know any of them? And she says, aye, there was a little girl got saved. There's a little girl got saved. He says, but you said there was a couple. He says, who were they else? Who was the other one? And you know, just all of a sudden, Mom said to him, Bob, the other one was me. And friend, let me tell you this. My mom died when she was 85 years of age. But from that night, that is the word, the Lord drew out her testimony, out of her. From that night to the day she died, let me tell you, God didn't have to draw out her testimony anymore. Because no matter where she went, didn't matter who she was talking to, didn't care whether it was a millionaire or a multimillionaire or just a person on the street, let me tell you, she would have talked about her Savior. And what Christ had done for her. And that night my mother could see it. So that was Mum and my brother. And then the three sisters gave their heart and life to Christ, and that left that in me. Well, I remember one night going to a little gospel meeting, friend. And thank God, the late Edmund Sanford, the CW evangelist at that time, was preaching the Word of God. And that night I realized that I was a sinner and I needed the Lord Jesus to be my Savior. And that night I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ, and thank God He promised to come in, and thank God He did. He did. He came into my heart, and thank God He saved my precious soul and cleansed me from my sin in His precious blood. And that night I was gloriously and wonderfully saved. I was 8 years of age when the Lord saved my soul. But Daddy was still not saved. Now, my dad was the master of the lodge for 20 years in our town. And I always thought I walked, not carrying the strings of the banner, I walked beside my daddy. I was his deputy master. And we walked there in front of the parade every 12th of July. But then let me tell you something. At the end of the parade, you're never allowed to touch alcohol when you're in the parade. But after the parade was over, Daddy and son parted. My daddy went to the local pub in Searstown. He went to George Forrest. He was the MP for Mid-Ulster at that time. He went to George Forrest pub. And I can remember sitting there because we were in the farm, a lot of work to do, but Dad didn't come. I can still see my Mum sending my brother and I up to the door and say, Daddy, would you come home? Because we need to go home and do the work. We have the milking to do, we have the cattle to feed and all. But Daddy wouldn't come. And I remember, I can still see us walking at nearly 12 o'clock at night, out the 2 miles out home from Stewartstown to our home, our farm, because Daddy was still in the pub. But friend, thank God, we prayed that God would change that. And praise God, He did. 2 years later, in the month of May 1959, it was the final meeting of an old-time gospel mission. Edmund Sanford was preaching again in a little schoolhouse that was closed. And there in Ballymaguire Schoolhouse, my dad heard the gospel. It was the final night of a mission. I can remember well, as we were coming out of the mission, my dad was walking out the same way as he was going in, still unsaved. And you know, as he was heading to the car, a cousin of mine, my dad's niece, stepped forward to Mum and said, Aunt Sadie, can I talk to Uncle Bob? And of course, this young teenage girl, Mum said to her, yes, you can. And so we stood back and Hazel stepped into the car and she sat down beside Daddy and she started to talk to him about the final night of another gospel mission. And still not see him. That night, friend, let me tell you something wonderful happened. Because all of a sudden the door opened on Hazel's side and the door opened on my dad's side. And they got out of the car and Dad walked past us. And he walked back into the wee hall. And that night, Daddy gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And I say this before God, that was the night I got a new daddy. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And you know, friends, let me tell you, the Lord wonderfully works and goes before us, because Monday morning was always sail yard morning. And we're up around about 5 o'clock in the morning and getting in the kettle onto the lorry, and then Dad would follow the kettle in because he was a proud beef man. And I can tell you, he was wanting to be sure he'd get the best price in the market for his prized beef. And of course, it was Monday morning came, and I can remember Dad getting away and heading off to Cookstown. And to tell you the truth, there was one person we were afraid my dad meeting up with. And it was actually a nephew of his, although they were near the same age. But he was a nephew of his. And we knew fine well that this is what happened. You see, whenever they got the best price in the market, they went to the pub to celebrate. You see, when they got the worst price in the market, they went into the pub to commiserate. So it usually was, they went to the pub. And we knew it was Monday morning, and Dad was just saved the night before. Friend, let me tell you this. He went to Cookstown. Whenever he came home, we were waiting. But before he came home, after he went away from house, we go down on our knees and we pray. God, keep Daddy safe. Keep him safe, Lord. Don't let the devil step in. And Lord, don't let that man come and take him into the pub. You know, sure enough, he walked into the market. And who was the first person made a big beeline for him? Aye, the one that we were saying, Lord, don't let him meet him.
And he walked up to him and he reached out his hand like that and he says, Uncle Bob, he says, I heard you got good living last night. He says, I wish you all the best. And he turned and he walked away. Friends, let me tell you, God is an amazing God. And maybe there's people here tonight and you're saying, listen, I would love to be saved, but I couldn't keep it. How many people have gone to hell believing that? Because it's a lie from the devil, friend. Let me tell you, you don't keep it. Thank God, whenever you're saved, God keeps you. He's able to save you. And thank God, the Bible says in Jude verse 24, he's able to keep you. He's able to keep you from falling. And if there's someone here tonight and you've been struggling and you've been battling about salvation, and my, the old devil has been my hound and you say, you couldn't be saved because look at your life, what it has been. My God, let me tell you this. I remember running from him in his drink. I remember shaking and running, holding on to my mother's side. Not that he beat us or was bad to us, but he was just bound by his drink. But friend, let me tell you, you see, the night God saved him, God changed him. God changed him. And I'm telling you, listen, as the words of that Stuart Hamlin said, it is no secret what God can do. What he did for my daddy, friend, he can do for you. There's not a person in this meeting that God cannot save to the uttermost, because that's the only salvation he has. It's an uttermost salvation. He's able to save you from the guttermost. Thank God he can lift you out of the gutter. That's what David said in Psalm 40. He drew me from the fearful pit and from the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my way. Praise God, that's what the Lord can do, because salvation is of the Lord. Salvation of the Lord. You see, whenever you're saved, friend, that's not the end of the story. It's the start of the journey. It's the start of the journey. And what happened in my life was this, that after I left school, I went into the civil service. And went into the civil service, but I must be honest, before God, I wasn't satisfied because I was praying for the will of God. I was praying that God would show me what he wanted me to do. Now, I have a great desire to not only sing, but also to try and preach. And I remember, I used to go out and go and get the cows, to bring the cows in. And I remember taking the dog and we'd go into the field and I would send the dog in and tell the dog to bring the cows out, and he rounded them up, and just like as if it was a sheep dog, but he rounded them up and he brought them out. And I used to stand, now you might think, you might laugh at this and say, this boy's a header, but I don't care what you think. I used to stand at the side of the bank as the old cows were coming out, and I used to be standing preaching away. I used to be standing, reading the gospel tract and preaching away. I remember an aunt and an uncle went past one night, he says, that fella, he needs attention. That boy needs attention. I didn't care, friend. Boys, people say to me, did anybody get converted? No, the old cows used to lift their tails, but there were no hands were raised. But praise God, the Lord, give me that desire to reach men and women for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I went into the civil service, I wasn't satisfied. My father said to me, son, I want you to come home and work with me and your brother on the farm. He had a farm that was able to look after the both of us. And I said to him, Daddy, I can't. He said, why not, son? I said, Daddy, because I believe that God is calling me into his work, and therefore I can't do it. Now, I'd love to have done it, but I couldn't, because God was calling me. And so therefore, the Lord, at that particular time, there was a great debate about the ecumenical movement and all the rest. And Dr. Paisley was in the midst of the fray at that time. And I desired to hear this man preach. One night I did. My father took me to a mission outside Dungannon. And it was a tent. It was an after church meeting. And it was an old tent that he was preaching in. And friend, you know, when Doc started, and quite often it was quite late, and it was getting dark. And then it got very dark. And Doc was preaching on. Boys, he got liberty. And he was preaching on. And then all of a sudden, lights went out. And the place was in absolute darkness. And I can remember well, Doc saying, that will not stop me. I'm going to preach on. And so he did. He says, I'm not tied to notes. And so therefore he preached on. And that night, there was something in my heart. That's what I want. That's the kind of preaching. Because, friend, be honest. The church I went to was not a Bible-preaching church. Yes, it was a religious house, but it was not a preaching house of the gospel. And the minister never once told us we needed to be saved. or we needed Christ. And I started teaching the Sunday school. When I started to teach in the Sunday school, I desired to tell others about the Lord Jesus. And I wanted to tell these boys and girls and lead them to Christ. But God was calling me out into the free church. And you know, I had a real battle in my heart. What would I do? What would happen to children? I was a light in that place. Now, there was one Sabbath school teacher, that I have to say in my testimony, was very faithful to me, Joan. And Joan was a faithful child of God. Joan, before I got saved, friend, God used her as the real instrument to speak conviction to my soul. She used to talk to the children about our need of Christ. She used to talk about heaven and tell us about the reality of hell. She used to talk about death and how the death was a reality for every one of us. She used to tell about the second coming of Christ and how that people needed to be ready ere the Lord Jesus Christ would return again. I remember whenever I would go home at night, I used to think about that and used to pray as a child, Lord, please don't let me die tonight, for I'm not ready. And Lord Jesus, don't come tonight, for I'm not ready to go. But thank God the Lord was good. He used that. And thank God he was sowing seeds in my heart. I wanted to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then something happened. I got an uncle. My aunt and uncle had no family of theirs. And we were, my sister Ivy, especially myself, we were their children. And my uncle took very ill. He was taken to hospital. He had to get his leg amputated. I remember going to the hospital that night and sitting with him and sitting with my aunt. Because when my uncle was in the hospital, I went to live with her. That night, he was very ill. He was semi-conscious. And then I went home, and during that night, friend, something happened. My uncle woke out of his semi-consciousness and he cried these words. He cried, oh hell, hell, hell. And he closed his eyes in death and went out into God's eternity. And I must be honest before God. Many nights I cried myself to sleep because I loved that man. But he wasn't saved. Friend, let me tell you, heaven's real. And everybody wants to go to heaven, but let me tell you, hell's real too. And those who are not saved, let me tell you, I don't care what the preacher says over your coffin, it will not matter tuppence. You neither hear him or know anything about it. Because you'll be where you were ready for. And if you're not saved, I don't care who tells you otherwise, my friend. If you're not saved, you'll never be in heaven. You'll never be there. But as sure as there's a God in heaven, you'll be in a Christless and lost eternity that God's word calls hell. And I had a burden because of what happened to my uncle. I couldn't change his destiny, but I wanted to tell others. And that is why that whenever I heard about Dr. Paisley, I wanted to be a part of this ministry. And I wrote away to, it was the Reverend Cecil Maneri, was the clerk of Prestwick at that time. And I was interviewed the same night as the Reverend Fred Greenfield was interviewed in Sandown Free Presbyterian Church. And you know, we're sitting there after the interview and we're giving a text to preach to this august body of clergymen and elders and all the rest. And here's a traitor coming from the countryside. And I had to preach to them. And I was nearly going to make a gospel appeal. But whenever we did that, we then had to wait. And I remember saying to Fred, I didn't meet him until that night, but I said, Fred, we introduced each other. I said, Fred, you know, God, I've been accepted tonight. He says, how do you know? I says, because the Lord has told me. And he said, well, how do you know? Well, I said to him, listen, Isaiah chapter 43, God has given me this verse tonight. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And I said, I believe before God that God has called me. And that I'm not only his, but God has called me to preach. I read on the next verse, and to be honest, I liked the first verse, but I didn't like the second. For it says this, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee, and through the fire. Now, I wasn't so bad, the waters and the rivers, but to tell you the truth, when I got to the fire, I says, now there's trouble here. There's trouble here. And friend, to be honest before the Lord, I haven't time to tell you tonight, but I've experienced, yes, the reality of trouble in my life. I remember lying in hospital
many years ago, over 30 years ago, my youngest girl was just born that weekend, and I went into the hospital. She came out on Saturday. I went into the hospital on Monday for 6 weeks. Remember them telling me I should make my will, because they believed that I had got a disease that I wasn't going to recover from. But thank God the Lord overruled, and God spared me all of those years. I remember going in on a Friday evening into a police station one night, and they're sitting me down, and a superintendent say, "Mr. McRae, we have something to tell you." I says, "What is it?" He says, "You're going to be murdered this weekend." And I sort of laughed. I said, "What?" He said, "Mr. McRae, this is not a joke." He says, "We believe, from the information we have, you're to be murdered this weekend." And then he started to talk about a police car would go in the front of me, a police car would come behind me, and I'd drive the car in between until I got home. And he said, you know, by 5 o'clock that afternoon, he would know whether it was real or whether it was not. It's a quarter to five, and the door opened of that police officer's office, and this lady looked in and said, "Superintendent, that call." He goes out, and the inspector went out, and the sergeant went out, and I was left with constable sitting in that little room. What was happening? Was this me they were talking about? And I remember very well, he came back in and he sat down in the seat and he looked at me and he said, "Mr. McRae, I'm sorry to tell you, it's only too true. You're to be murdered this weekend." And you know, friend, I couldn't understand. How did he know that? Well, in actual fact, let me tell you how he knew. I'm led to believe that one of the persons that were sent to do the job that weekend, one of the provosts that was sent out to do it, that his father and mother were in need. And they had something that he went to everyone and nobody could help them. But they had come to me. And I was the only one that helped them. And then he realized, I'm going to murder the person that helped my mum and dad. The only one that helped them. And so he used the confidential phone. And even though he was making life for himself difficult and maybe dangerous, he gave the call and said, "I was to be murdered that weekend." And God, as you can see, God graciously intervened. They did come to do the job that weekend, but praise God, the police were there. Sadly, they got away, but nevertheless, that's another story. For my 40th birthday, I got a bomb. Now, it wasn't a full one, it was a real one. But you know, God was good. God was gracious, because just a week before, my wife and I had gone on holidays to America. And when the bomb was opened, it was opened in our front living room, and it was in the dark. The trigger mechanism of the bomb was the light. But God was good. And God spared not my office staff at that time. God spared them. And once again, God spared me. The last hooray before the IRA was to call their final ceasefire. The last hooray was one Sunday night. The final ceasefire was on a Monday morning. That Sunday night I was preaching in my congregation in Macrofelt, and on the Monday I was going to America on holiday. It was July once again. And you know, I was just going through the door. I was in a police car at that time, and I was going through the door to go home. My wife had gone down to the house and the children. And I was going to go home, and this lady stopped me. She said, "Mr. McRae, you're going away for nearly 3 weeks. Why did you give us a bit of your chat before you go?" And friend, let me tell you this. You see that lady? Under God was the one that saved my life. Because I didn't know at that very time, sitting outside my house, was a car with two gunmen in it with AK-47s to take away my life and the life of my family as well. But God. You know, my child had run into the house, and when she did, she just ran up the stairs before she came down to get some food before going to bed. She ran up the stairs, one of the children ran up the stairs and went into the bedroom, went over to the window, not knowing, she saw nothing. But she looked out through the window, but she didn't see anything. But these terrorists were sitting out in the car, and they thought she did. So therefore they couldn't wait any longer.
They couldn't wait any longer. So what they did was this, friend. They got out of the car, and my wife and my children were in the house, and they got out of the car, and they riddled my home with 50 bullets. That was their final hooray. And you know, one of those bullets, on the very window where my daughter was standing, the very spot, it went through the spot of that window. But you know, just as children are, one minute they're there and the next minute they're away. And praise God, she was going down the stairs. And she was also spared, and the rest of them were spared. And so was I. The goodness of God. My friend, I could go on tonight and tell you what the Lord has done for me, but let me say this. My story is this, that I'm saved. I'm saved. You say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean, saved much? We read the scripture tonight, and here we have a Philippian jailer. And friend, let me tell you this, whenever the prison shook, God not only shook the prison, God shook that prisoner. That old jailer. And God shook him to his being. And he was about to kill himself. He's about to kill himself. See, the devil said, you might as well end it. There's no hope. How many times has the devil said that to sinners? There's no hope. You could never be saved. Your life could never be changed. And the old jailer, he thought that the prisoners had fled. And he was about to kill himself. And Paul says, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And that night, the jailer came into the prison. And my Paul and Silas were in the inner part of that prison. And he asked them a question. He said, sir, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? Let me tell you, friend. There are many people in this country tonight. And they hear preachers and they tell them, are you saved? And I've had persons say, listen, people have said to me, you need to be saved. But they never tell me how. They never tell me how to be saved. Now, I was at the door. I was going round the door just this past week. I came to this door. I rang the bell and this lady came and her walking in. She's 92 years of age. And whenever I came, I waited until she unlocked the door and then she came back. And she said, you know, Mr. McRae, I was going to send for you last week. You're in my mind all last week. Now, she doesn't belong to my congregation. But some years ago, I led her husband to Christ. Church of Iron Thumb. And you know, as I was there, she said, I said, well, you're going to. She said, yes, but then I decided maybe I shouldn't. Maybe the family wouldn't want me to do it. And I said, well, what was it about? She said, Mr. McRae, my daughter asked me a question. She says, Mommy, are you ready? Are you ready? She says, well, I hope I am. I hope I am. I'm 92 years of age, friend. And I hope I am. And you know, I sat down with that woman there. I just went out to the car and I brought in the Bible and sat down. And friend, let me tell you, I showed her from God's word how she could be saved. And praise God, she trusted Christ as her Savior. And she's on her way to heaven tonight. Maybe there's someone here tonight and say, preacher, yes, I've heard people say, you need to be saved. Saved from what? What's the problem, friend? Your sin. That's the problem. And the word of God says, listen, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sin. From their sin. And that's what we need to be saved from. I remember after I got saved, I went to school the next morning. To primary school. And I sat down beside a wee fella. And I was sitting at the same desk as me. And I said, Joe, I got saved last night. And this is his truth. You know what he said to me? Were you drowning? Were you drowning? Let me tell you, my friend. He hadn't a clue. Hadn't a clue. Saved from your sin. Friend, that's your problem. And the Bible tells us, now listen, the Bible says your sin shall separate between you and God. Whenever Adam sinned, let me tell you, the Bible says that God drove Adam from the garden. Why? Because of his sin.
And friend, let me tell you, sin will separate you from God, not only for time, but for all eternity. Some of the saddest words of the Bible is this: ye will not come to me, that you might have life. You'll not come. And then Jesus said this in John 8, he says, I go my way, and ye shall die. Listen, ye shall die in your sin. And where I am, you can't come. And every man and woman in this service and young person, let me tell you, you'll die one of two ways. And the word of God says, we all must needs die. So don't blank it out of your head. Let me tell you, there's go to a graveyard, and there's no age limit on that graveyard. Look at the headstones. What age you got to be to die, friend? Let me tell you, the answer's in the graveyard. In the headstones. Every age. From the youngest child to the oldest man. And there's only a step between us and death. Friend, let me tell you, you'll either die one or two ways. The word of God says, blessed or happy are they that die in the Lord. You'll either die in Christ. You'll die knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the word of God says, happy are the dead that die in the Lord. You don't need to fear death. What did the psalmist say? Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? What's the secret? Read the next word, for thou art with me. And when you have the Lord, friend, and when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't need to fear even death itself. The last enemy, 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, and people fear it. But listen, I'll fear no evil whenever you're the Lord. Happy are the dead. You'll either die in the Lord or you'll die in your sin. And if you die in the Lord, it's happy because you're going to heaven. And if you die in your sin, where Christ is, you'll never be, and you go to hell. And friend, tonight, be honest. Listen, I didn't come to Newton Arch to play around. I've come to tell you straight tonight, you need to be saved from your sin. From your sin. That's the problem. And your sin separating between you and God, friend. And if your sin is not dealt with, if your sin is not cleansed, if your sin is not pardoned, if your sin is not forgiven, and put under the blood of Christ, your sin will separate you from God forever. Thank God those that are saved will never want back. And those that are not saved will never get back. That's why it's good to be saved. But how? Sirs, tell me, what must I do? Well, this is a finish. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your whole weight, my friend, on Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. The one who saves from sin. The only Savior. Here's the command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You not, listen, trust your church and not get you to heaven. I'm a free Presbyterian through and through, but let me tell you, the free church can't take you to heaven, friend. There's only one. His name's Jesus. Friend, let me tell you, believe on, rest your soul on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you at the cross of Calvary. The problem was my sin, but praise God, God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son and he sent him to the cross. And there on the cross of Calvary, he bare my sin upon his own body on the tree. Hallelujah. He dealt with a sin problem at the cross. And friend, let me tell you, you've got to come as a sinner to Jesus and you'll meet him at the cross. Thank God the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. You see, friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what he told. That's what they told to that old Philippian jailer. He was about to die, friend. He knew he needed to be saved. He asked him, what must I do to be saved? So he knew he needed it. But he didn't know how. And
they say, believe on, put your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way to heaven. What Jesus said, he says, I am the way. He says, I am the truth. He says, I am the life. And then he said this, no man, doesn't matter who you are, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friend, let me tell you, you get to heaven without riches. You get to heaven without popularity. You get to heaven without fortune or fame. But you'll never, ever get to heaven without Jesus. You remember that. Remember those words. You will never, ever get to heaven without Jesus. Because he says, I am the way. He's the only way. It's not Jesus plus the church. It's not Jesus plus baptism. It's not Jesus plus confirmation. It's not Jesus plus anything, friend. Listen, it's Jesus only. Jesus saves. That's what Granny sang as she was dying, leaving 8 wee children behind. Jesus saves. And praise God, friend. I know he does. Because he saved a wretch like me. Listen, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Thank God, friend, he's able to save. Thank God he's willing to save. Isn't that mighty? That's mighty. He's able to save. Let me tell you, there's not a person in this meeting that is not able to save. Praise God, let me tell you, he's able to save to the uttermost. All that come unto God, by him, Christ alone, Jesus Christ alone, his finished work upon the cross of Calvary, thank God, dealt with our sin. But he's not only able to save, he's willing to save. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, listen to these words, shall be saved. Not might be, not may be, not hope to be, shall be. What a funny cross we write. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Listen, you can be dead on certain. You're saved tonight. You rest your soul upon Jesus and his finished work. Glory to God, he promises in his word. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Be saved. I'm asking you a question now. Are you saved? Are you saved tonight? You say, well, I'm a free Presbyterian. I didn't ask you that. I said, are you saved? I'm a Protestant. I didn't ask you that. I asked you a straightforward question. Are you saved, friend? Are you saved from your sin? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Because neither is there salvation in any other. That's what Acts chapter 4:12 says. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven that is given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We must be. We must be. If you're going to heaven, you must be saved, friend. And there's only one. What's the name? Jesus. What does it mean? Savior. He shall save his people from their sin. Oh, friend, tonight, as I close this meeting, why aren't you saved? What's the devil putting in your way? What's the barrier? I was drinking my father's life. But glory to God, that night he opened the door of the car and walked back into the little room, you know. Let me tell you, Edmund Sanford didn't save him. He simply pointed him to the one who did. He pointed him to Jesus. And that's what I did the other day, friend, out in that door. I pointed a 92-year-old woman to Jesus. You know what I'd love tonight? I'd love to point you to Jesus. I was in America one time.
Remember when the Americans were, there was this television crew were there, Dr. Paisley was there, and I was there, and they came to me after they came to Dr. Paisley, you can be dead certain. But they came to me and they said, well, I believe that you're a member of Parliament. I said, yes. Have you ever met the Queen? Yes, I said, I was. I've met the Queen on a number of occasions. I've had my lunch with the Queen. I've been in Buckingham Palace, been all of these things. They said, tell me, what is the greatest thing that you can think of? What is the greatest privilege? Was it meeting the Queen? Did you ever meet the President? I said, yes, I did. I met the President. I've been in the White House. I met the President of the United States of America. He said, well, are those one of the greatest? I said, let me tell you, sir. The greatest privilege that God ever has given to me in my years of life is this. It's not meeting Her Majesty the Queen, whom I respect and have great loyalty to. It's not meeting a President of the United States. The greatest privilege that God has given me is kneeling with a sinner and pointing them to the Savior. That's the greatest joy. And friend, you can be saved tonight if you only come as a sinner to Jesus. Remember, who do you need? Jesus. You need him as your Savior. And thank God, that's why he left heaven's glory, to come to die on a cross, not to be your friend, although he is, to be your Savior. I quote an old hymn as a finish, or a chorus. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek. It was to see. He came. And when we call him Savior, we call him by his name. Is he your Savior? Friend, I sign tonight. Don't go home tonight unsaved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy goodness to us. Thank thee for thy presence with us. And I pray that thou wilt attend the preaching and testimony of thy word tonight by the blessed power of thy Holy Spirit. O God, our Father, I pray that this night, men and women, young people, come as a sinner to Jesus. So heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, I beg you tonight. Thank God you've come to hear God's word. But you need to take another step. You need to come by faith and receive Jesus as your Savior. Is there someone in the service tonight? And the Lord has been speaking. Maybe you've been near the kingdom. Maybe the devil has put doubts in your mind. He has told you you couldn't be saved. There's no hope for you. The devil's a liar, friend. A liar. Thank God you can be saved. Only thing that's stopping you. Jesus says you will not come to me. That you might have life. I beg you come to him tonight. Come by faith. I'm here as God's servant. I beg you in God's name, don't leave. I know you're having tea, friend, but let me tell you, far more important than you and me taking tea is you receiving Christ as your Savior. If your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, listen. Maybe there's someone and say, preacher, I'd love to be saved. Friend, do not go away without him.
make this the night. Make this the greatest night of your life, when you received life eternal in Jesus Christ. I'm here to help you, brother. Dr. Johnson's here to help you as well. But don't go home tonight unsaved.